Today is Saturday, the 8th of October 2022, and we are all gathered here for the 52nd session on mindfulness for beginners. And we would follow through with the question and answers and the in-session mindfulness practice and also the talk from Bhante. So to this program, I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante, Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, representing Nisaranavane Forest Monastery. And I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining into the session today through Zoom and the Facebook live stream. So this program is to educate and allow you to get enriched with insight to practice mindfulness, and I hope you all have a great session today. I would pass on the microphone to Venerable Bhante to commence the in-session mindfulness practice. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Hello everybody. So I thought maybe we can start the session with a sitting practice today. So we will take about 10 to 15 minutes to sit mindfully. For this, you have to adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable. Make sure that your body is balanced. Once you have that comfort, you can close your eyes and be aware. Be aware that you are seated. Take a few seconds to notice what is happening. Notice what becomes prominent to you when you pay attention like this. Probably you will hear surrounding sounds, maybe vehicle noises, people talking, doing various activities. You hear sounds from your surrounding. In addition, you may feel your body as well. You feel the pressure on your back, probably breathing is also prominent. Breath goes in, comes out after a while. Again, it goes in, comes out. Time to time, thoughts may occur. Time to time, various bodily sensations may appear. Sometimes you may feel sleepy or even pain in your body. When these things appear, you can be aware about them. You are seated. You can come back to that root again and again. Thoughts occurring, but you are seated here. Various bodily sensations appearing, disappearing while you are seated here. Sleepiness, various other feelings may come and go, but you are seated peacefully. We are trying to appreciate that peace. Among all these things, you are calm and peaceful. Again and again, sounds may appear. Again and again, various bodily sensations may appear. Again and again, thoughts may come and go. Among all these things, you are calm and peaceful. You are seated in this present moment. So as a group, let's try to appreciate that peace for a while. Now you can open your eyes again. So that's about 15 minutes of mindful sitting. This is just to give you an idea about the practice. So you can practice on your own. Every day, if you can take some time to do a sitting session like this, that's how you need to support your practice. Probably 30, 40 minutes of sitting, at least like 10, 15 minutes of sitting. If you can include in your daily schedule, that's how you want to practice in your day-to-day life. Every day, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes of mindful sitting. Okay, now, Mantha, with that, we can move forward.
Thank you so much, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante. And now we will move to the Q&A session, and Sonali will be presenting the three reports received for us today, and then we will open the floor for verbal questions or statements on mindfulness practice from you. And with that, I would like to hand over the session to Sonali. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai Bhante. There are three reports, as Namantha said today. I'll start with the first one. Mindfulness in the day. Unwell with COVID and remembered the discussion of it being the perfect situation to practice mindfulness when ill. Noted the constantly changing sensations through the body. Muscle aches, when looked at in a more detailed manner, noted to be in only some areas of the body, not in all areas. The so-called ache, when observed, arose and passed, and a different pain arose in another area. Arising of the unpleasant sensation, it passing, pleasant is temporary, and another unpleasant sensation arriving confirmed that both pleasant and unpleasant were temporary phenomena and not my pains. During shivering with fever, decided to watch the fever, the tejo, pass with no paracetamol. This too passes, but now aware the fever could return later. Noted sore throat and again symptoms changing with drinking water. Noted much warmer air on out breaths during fever. Observed thoughts that arose, mind confirming the teachings of Vedana or feelings, perception of aches, Sankhara, the thoughts and proliferations, remembered good Kalyana Mitra, who passed away from COVID. The changes in taste and smell, consciousness noted, as they seem dulled, the desire for food reduced. A backache which persisted was reduced by a session of walking meditation. The lack of control over what happened to one's body, anatta, was apparent and caused hetu and effects, pala. These in household was others in household also unwell with COVID. Their lack of control over their bodies, just like no control over mine, also apparent. All this is the dukkha and the desire to let go of each phenomena and not identify them as mine was helpful in the day passing, not worrying about the illness and consequences. Noted the mind accepting illness as part of the course of being born. Then walking meditation. Walked on wooden floor with slippers on nothing left, noting left, right feet being lifted. Moved, placed, and noting instruction from mind to do so before each action. Observed slight pain in one ankle, but knowing it would change or pass, did not dwell on it. It did not re-arise. continued walking for half an hour and noted back pain had settled down. Cause, lying in bed, result back pain was more, is my theory. Mindful sitting. Primary object, watching breath. Noted each in and out breath and gap between each breath. They were equal in length, but soon the breath became shorter and broke up. Breath more prominent in one nostril than the other. Thoughts, sounds, images, sensations, feelings noted. Mind coming back to breath. Had to go to answer doorbell, but came back mindfully to cushion and meditated for 1 hour. With much gratitude to Bhante and the organizers. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing that experience. As you can see, when we are sick, when we are in a troubling situation, we can see the real nature of our body and mind. When we are healthy, when we are happy, they don't grab our attention that much. So when you are sick, when you are suffering with a fever, you can feel how the body is working, how difficult the body is becoming more and more. And according to that, your mind is also all over the place, various thoughts, images, various emotions happening. So this is an opportunity to observe your body and mind. Sometimes you may have to go and take some medicine, but that's okay. If it heals, it heals. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You keep observing this process, and that's the best way of facing an illness. You see how impermanent, how non-self your body and mind is. When you are fallen sick, you can really feel it. Various sensations, various details appearing in your body, and it's like a huge flow of things. Then thoughts, mental images, emotions appearing in your mind, it feels like a huge river flowing. So this is the true nature of your body and mind. We get an opportunity to observe it when we are sick. So this is a good observation. As you can see, you can't maintain your body. You can't maintain your mind. It follows its nature. Body and mind, they are following its nature. You go and claim ownership over them. That's the issue. This is a rented house we are living in. We go and claim ownership of it. But if you really look into it, you can see this is a rented house. We don't have ownership of it. So this is an opportunity for you to observe that. I'm not saying it's easy. It's difficult. You need a lot of courage to do such a thing. But little by little, you can develop that courage. Little by little, you can develop that strength. And you can face these situations. When more you practice, you realize easier it becomes. And you can see how rapidly this body and mind is changing. It's like a flowing river of sensations, flowing river of thoughts, feelings. So this is the true nature of your body and mind. And we are not judging it. We try to just observe. Naturally, mind doesn't like this process because it is painful, because it is difficult, because it is troubling. But with courage, with strength, you face it again and again. So this is how we can really develop our practice. And I found this interesting quote from Osho a few days back. He's saying that if somebody come and kill you, still you will be observing the process. somebody come and kill you, but you'll be seeing that process. You'll be observing that you are getting wounded. You'll be observing that you are getting hit. You'll be observing that this body is dying. But still, there's an observer. So he's suggesting it's not you that's getting killed. It's not the observer that's getting killed. Instead, some other entity is getting killed and you are observing. So same goes for here. When your body and mind is sick, you are the observer. There are various sensations, thoughts, feelings are there, but still you keep observing. So observer is more like a separate entity, and this whole process is there. Same goes when you face your death, still you can have this ability to observe. This faculty doesn't get affected. This faculty of awareness, you can still continue. So you see that body is becoming more and more troubling, difficult, and soon death will arrive. Still, there will be an observer. Observer who is observing the process that is happening. So that's the importance of this faculty of awareness. It's very much valuable because you are not taking a side. You are not appreciating it as positive or rejecting it as negative. Instead, you just the observer, unbiased observer. You will be doing it again and again. So that's the ability we are developing. If you can face such an illness with courage, with strength, and be with that illness, that's the best healing power you will have. If you try to fight it, if you try to heal fast, if you try to reject these difficulties in your body, that's not the way. I'm saying this being with your body and mind is the best healing, best medicine you can get. Being with means not wishing that it should get better, not wishing when will I recover. Instead, just be there, lying on your bed, just accept what is happening. Just accept the pain and difficulty in your body. Just accept the situation in your mind and just be. That's the idea of non-self. If there's an entity, if there's a separate self, then you can wish, I should get better soon. I should heal soon. That's your wish. But if there's no such a thing, then you don't have a ownership of it. You can't order it to get better soon. It's not happening. Same goes with the mind. When your mind is anxious, you want it to get better. After a long day, you feel so much anxiety in your mind. If you can just order your mind to get better, have calming, peaceful state, then it's fine. But that's not possible. This mind and body, they are following its nature. They follow their own nature. We just do the observation. We have no ownership over them. So that's the idea we are developing. That's the strength we are developing. So we are glad that you shared your experience. We wish you all the best, and you can continue this way. And we invite you to share your experience again.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move on to the second report. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and settled into a comfortable position. After a quick body scan, noticed the body was sitting in that moment. A sense of ease pervaded both mind and body. When breath appeared, it was felt more around the nostril area. In breath cooler and out breath less cool. Noticed the breath in this way for a few minutes, and then thoughts appeared. Although many recent events and future planning came up, the noticing continued uninterruptedly. These were seen for what they were, just some thoughts. Mind naturally returned to breath afterwards. This pattern of switching between the awareness of breath and awareness of thoughts continued. Breath was noted as less gross now. However, the pain in the left thigh was felt more prominently. Noticed how the mind tried to stay with the less prominent breath, but it was returning to the bodily pain. Noted how the midpoint of pain was changing. Similar to an electrical pulse moving around with a small area. Noticed these moving sensations for some time, and then the mind returned to breath. It felt more gross again. Sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. Recently, there have been times when the skeleton would appear in the mind's eye. For example, when the body walks, the usual feelings are there, such as feet touching the ground and hands moving from side to side. But the feeling for the picture of the skeleton walking comes up firmly in the mind. After a while, it disappears when the mind has taken another object. In the past week, this has happened a few times, including in a couple of the formal practices too. Mind was occupied in seeing the movement of the bones, having noted disappointment and sadness in the mind more often in the past week. Chose to sit for a while and allow these emotions to come up fully instead of suppressing them. In this exercise, also the skeleton in sitting position appeared in the mind. Then the perceptions of various bones in the skeleton just held together with ligaments, tendons, and then the various muscles and skin emerged in the mind. Sadness and disappointment had increased by now. Even though skeleton provides structure, the support to the body, the understanding that all these bones will actually sit in a pile on top of each other, if not for the ligaments and tendons and muscles and skin. This happened, perhaps, was the source of disappointment and sadness in the mind during the past few days. Not sure if this part of the report makes any sense. There is less motivation to do this at the moment. Feels like there is little point in planning to do things or get somewhere. Mind is in a bit disinterested in the external world and its events. However, paradoxically, there is a lot of interest in the mind in understanding what is going on internally. Based on previous similar experiences, the mind knows these feelings and emotions shall also pass. Noted that it's not uncomfortable to experience these mental images or the sensations. Venerable Bhante, I look forward to your valuable guidance. Much merit to you and the organizers of this Dhamma program. End of report.
Okay, let me start with one of your sentences. Many things appear, but awareness continues. Many things appear and disappear, but awareness continues. This is the ability that we are developing. We can continue with our awareness. Various objects may appear. That's the object of awareness. That's not our priority. The priority is continuing awareness. So for a beginner, it's difficult. So that's why we suggest take your breath, take the steps, try to maintain your awareness for few steps, few breaths. That is the starting point. But when you develop in your practice, naturally, various objects start to appear. You develop the ability to maintain your awareness. Objects may change, but still you can maintain your awareness. Sitting posture may change, but still you can maintain your awareness. Day-to-day activities you are doing in various postures, but still you can maintain your awareness. That is the way of practice. Initially you start with your breath, initially you start with your steps. But gradually, you develop this ability to maintain awareness while these objects changing. So that's the strength. So when we hear the initial part of your report, you are clearly mentioning that you can see that various objects appear, they disappear, but the awareness continues. So that is the practice we are doing. So this object of awareness, it doesn't matter, right? Various things could appear. Skeletons could appear, various other thoughts may appear, images may appear, various things may appear. Time to time, we go and grab them. We try to find meaning behind them. That's natural because something new appears, you get curious. You go and try to find the meaning behind it. Let's say somebody's face appears, you get curious. And you try to find the meaning behind it. Skeletons appear, you get curious. You try to find the meaning behind it. But more and more you practice, you develop this ability to maintain awareness without trying to go after the object of awareness. The awareness continues, the objects may change. Skeleton is also another thing that comes and goes. You don't have to find meaning behind it. Usually people, they are very much afraid of skeletons. When they see a skeleton, they start to run away. They want to escape. But do you think that they are running with one? When they run from a skeleton, they are running with one. Inside their body, they have their own skeleton. But they run to escape from this skeleton. So that's the life we are living. Inside our body also, there's a skeleton, but we don't know. We are not aware. Inside our body, there are organs, but we don't know. We are not aware. When we see it from the outside world, we become so fearful. When we see the skeletons from the outside world, we want to run away from them. But inside our body, we have one of our own. So that's just various objects passing through your field of awareness. They may come. If you start to find meaning behind them, then the appearance might be even with more frequency. These things may appear more and more if you start to try to find the meaning behind it. But the idea is just be mindful. Let them come and go. They may appear. They stay for a while. They disappear. That's the natural process these things are following. So you just have to maintain your awareness. Continue practicing. Then after a few days, you realize that even the skeletons, they pass. After a while, they pass away. And a fresh thing will appear. So this is the process. The awareness continues. Objects may change. So that's the practice we are doing. That's the idea I want to give. Continue your practice. No matter whatever the things that come, it doesn't matter. You just continue your awareness. So that way, we will keep practicing. And when you do that, you realize there's no real interest in your mind. Usually, from the worldly perspective, it's not good. We should have interest in these things. But in the Dhamma perspective, it's a good thing that you lost interest in this world. You lack interest in it. So that's a very good sign. The boredom appears. Boredom is a very good sign. So these things, we should learn the art of appreciating them. If you know how to appreciate them, then the practice will grow. Usually we don't appreciate these type of things. Usually we don't appreciate the boredom. We don't appreciate the lack of interest in this world. But that's a very good sign when you think about the practice. So appreciate that lack of interest. Appreciate that boredom and continue your practice.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move on to the last report. Mindfulness of sitting 1 hour. Scan the body in a relaxed posture. noted the movements of the in and out breaths as expansion and contraction of the chest and abdomen. Arising and passing away of the breaths were observed at the nostrils. The in-breath was slightly longer than the out-breath. The slow start, the gradually peaking of the middle, and the slow fading away to the end, and the gap between in and out breaths were noted. A spinning sensation appeared over the back of the left shoulder. In close observation, it rapidly spread over the surrounding area and disappeared after breaking into smaller spinning units, arising and passing away rapidly. As the breath got subtler, waves of subtle vibrations enveloped the body. There were a few grosser ones as well. With the disappearance of the breath, it felt like floating on the white peaks with very rapid gliding movement. Subtle breath and thoughts came and went. The sensations calmed after some time. The same feeling of gliding continued until the end of the session. With gratitude to Bhante and the organizing team. That's the end of report.
Okay, the way of practice is good. You just have to try and continue this way. The reporting is good and the way of practicing is good. You can see how the things become more and more subtle when you practice. Probably not in the beginning. When you sit for a while, you can feel it. The breath becomes more and more subtle. Even the walking process becomes lighter and lighter. So these things are good signs that we are practicing. But I'm not suggesting that it will continue that way. Sometimes it becomes prominent again. Sometimes it becomes rough again. Again, it goes through the same process. So this is how it happens. It's a spiral that we are going through, not a linear method. It will come again and again, various cycles are there, but gradually you are going towards the center. That's the idea of a spiral. So that way the practice will grow. Initially you feel it's too difficult to go through. Initially you feel it's too much. That way you feel. But when you continue, when you repeat your practice again and again, when you put this repetition into effect, then you can see how it becomes more and more easier. That's why we recommend you to practice daily. At least spend 30 minutes for sitting, 30 minutes for walking, and do it for a few months. You don't have to suddenly become mindful 24/7. It's difficult. It's difficult. You have your own work. You have your family life. So it's difficult. What we are suggesting is that every day invest some time, then let it go. Do your thing according to your usual behavior. Again, tomorrow you practice. Again, you let it go. Again, you practice. That way, you do it again and again. That's the way of practice. Otherwise, you'll try for a week, try for a month, then you will let it go. You will give up. That's not the proper way. Instead, every day you are investing some time, then you do your usual thing. Again, tomorrow also you are investing some time, do your usual thing. When you invest that way, after a few weeks, you realize that even throughout your day-to-day life, you are naturally mindful. The mindfulness naturally comes to you, even during your day-to-day life. Even when you are in a trouble, mindfulness naturally comes to you. Even when you are sick, mindfulness naturally comes to you. That is the importance of repetition. Repetitive practice, you will get this benefit. That's why even meditation is recommended every day you are doing some. Again, you let it go. Again, you do. So this mind will absorb this practice that way. If you try to, you know, put it and finish it within few days, it won't work. It's a gradual process. You have to let it grow naturally. It's like growing a tree. You do your part, you let it be. Again, tomorrow also, you do your part, you let it be. After a few weeks, suddenly you realize it has grown. That's how the practice will develop. So you can continue this way and you share your experience again.
Thank you, Bhante. That was the end of the three reports I have received. Now I think it's time for questions. If anyone's got questions about the reports or about the session, please raise your Zoom hand and I'll let you unmute yourself. Okay, there is one hand. Samantha, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you. I couldn't unmute earlier on. Thank you for taking my question, Bhante. I just want some clarification in the guidance, Bhante, in the sitting meditation, when Bhante said about watching the breath. Now, initially, if my understanding is correct, what I understood was when you sit, you take a few breaths and become aware of the breath and stay focused on the breath. And then the Bhante also said the objects of the mindfulness would change as well. So then if I have thoughts, which I do obviously, they'll come and I see the thoughts coming and then the thoughts will go, then I would I then bring back the breath to bring back the mindfulness to the anchor of the breath and then focus on the breath. And then again, if I'm, you know, able to focus, keep my mindfulness on the breath, I carry on. But obviously if I hear a sound or another thought, I would then acknowledge that my mindfulness, that there is a thought, but instead of proliferating into the thought, like sometimes, you know, thoughts will just take his own way and then you just get into caught in the thoughts. So I would just sort of like accept that they thought, stop, you know, whatever, that's just a imaginary thought, it's not real, accept that and then go back to the breath. So in this way, would I be, in doing so, increasing my mindfulness as well? Because obviously during the, as Bhante said, during the daily activities, you're caught up with so many things, work and other activities. So sometimes, you know, I can be mindful, but when you're caught up, it's sometimes easy to just like, because you have to deal with the situation, the mindfulness might go and you react in various ways, some wholesome and some maybe unwholesome. But obviously this will be hopefully, you know, with practice, as Bhante encouraged, that would change. So, but basically in a nutshell, Bhante, so would I initially, so to increase my sati, would I sort of use the breath as an anchor and then keep whatever that becomes aware, go to it and then come back to the breath and keep sharpening it that way? Bhante, thank you.
Okay, so when we practice, it's a gradual process. The practice will evolve. Right, so there is no hard and fast rule. Depending on the situation, depending on the level of practice, we may recommend various things. Right, so for a starter, for a beginner, we may say that observe the breath, even thoughts appearing, various things happening. We would recommend not to pay attention to them and keep observing the breath. Right, but when we grow in our practice, eventually that person realizes that the thoughts are there, various sounds, various things happening, mental images appearing, those things are there. Then, as you mentioned, you are aware that the thought is there, again you anchor towards the breath. Again, during the walking also, you anchor towards the walking process. That's how the gradually the practice will evolve. It's a gradual process. Little by little, it'll evolve. In a way, naturally, your mind will tell you the way to practice. The mind will lead you towards the proper way. Gradually, someone may realize that you are not interested in breath anymore. Instead, the whole process is happening. Various objects are coming into attention, but still the attention continues. That's how the practices will evolve. Even without this person doing it, it is naturally happening. Sometimes they come and complain, now I can't keep my attention with the breath. I used to do that. I could observe so many breath cycles. Now it's not happening anymore. And since so many other objects are there, still my awareness continues. So that's how the practice grows. So if I answer your question, you're asking, is it okay? Yes, of course, you can do it. You can do it. You can bring your attention back to the breath. Continue observing. Because based on your statement, you haven't lost interest in breath then still. Still you have interest in breath. So fine, continue observing. Don't encourage thoughts so much. Instead, you again and again anchor your attention towards the breath. And when you do that, you realize now, although the breath is there, the mind is not interested in it anymore. The thoughts are there, but mind is not going after them anymore. Instead, this natural process is happening. So that's how the practice will suggest, okay, now you are ready. Now you are ready to let it go. Now you are ready to be with the process. Based on your statement, I would recommend, yes, bring your attention back to the breath. Keep observing. And one day you realize that you don't have that interest anymore. You don't have that interest to go after thoughts and think for so many minutes. So when that happens, we will recommend something different. But based on today's statement, I would recommend, yes, bring your attention back to the breath. Continue with that breath. Try to be present with that breath. And I would recommend walking as well, walking meditation as well. If you walk, it is, you know, you have your eyes open when you walk. It's more like a difficult process than just sitting. So among all these things, you have to be mindful. So totally different scale of practice we are experiencing when we walk. So I would recommend doing walking meditation as well. When you walk, you have to go into a totally different level of practice. That helps a lot. That helps a lot. Because day to day, anyway, you have to be with the process. Sometimes you have to deal with the situation. You can't think about the mindfulness. If it comes, it comes. Otherwise, you have to deal with the situation. Right? You can't turn back and look for mindfulness when you are in a difficult situation. Instead, go deal with the situation. And one day you realize when I go and deal, the mindfulness is there. You don't have to look behind for it. If the practice is right, it should come with you. You don't have to look for it. Right? So you continue that way. Eventually you realize when I go and deal with a situation, the practice is there. You don't have to look for it. You have to have that confidence. It will come with time. So continue this way. And you can share your experience again.
Yeah, thank you, Bhante. I really appreciate that. It was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. So is there any other questions from anyone else? Please raise your hand. Okay, there is one more. Hey, Mali, would you like to unmute yourself and ask the question?
Yes, Bhante, I was right. That day when I, last week when I asked the question, I didn't understood the answer, Bhante. But today I understood the question was about the thought in the at the deathbed. Yeah. So today I got the, I think I understood to be the observer, and that is the strength you said. So Vante, thank you very much to Vante and organizers. Thank you, Vante. Just the sharing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it will happen, right? That's why every week we meet. Sometimes today you don't understand. After a month, you understand. When you continue with your practice, you understand. That's how it goes. So we try to communicate with words. But this practice, you can't really put it into words. In a way, it's a difficult task that we are doing. So that's why we encourage you to practice more and more. That's why we encourage you to experience yourself. When you practice, when you experience yourself, then only you will realize what we are talking about. Otherwise, word really can't communicate the meaning. It's too difficult. Instead, we try. Every week we try. I do my part. You share your experience. We have a discussion. So that's the idea. That's why we say continue with the program. Doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. Just continue. Chief Bhante says, be on the bus. And eventually you'll travel, right? If you get off the bus, then you stop at that moment. Instead, just be there. Sometimes you don't understand. Sometimes you don't get time to practice. But still, you continue. And when you continue for a few months, then suddenly you realize, now I'm much better off. Now I know what they're talking about. Now I get some time to practice. That is how it will grow. This is not a, you know, like those fast food kind of a solution. Instead, gradually we try to develop. Gradually we develop as a group. So now, as far as I can remember, Namanta was saying that last week was 50th, last week or the week before, right? So that's what matters. If you continue like that, then you realize that now I understand much better. Now I experience my practice much better. Now I know what they're talking about. That's the way. Even I am learning. It appears that I come and, you know, I just lecture you guys and go. That's how it appears. But I am also learning, right? When I started 1 year back, I didn't have this much of idea about the practice. I am also learning. When I started my practice, I was similar to you. I wasn't aware about the proper way of practicing. With time only you realize. When you start teaching somebody, then you realize a whole lot. Because if you are talking about the practice, you have to have a clear idea. Otherwise, it's creating more and more trouble for yourself as well as for others. So if you talk, if you teach somebody, then you have to have a clear idea. So that's why even for you, we invite you to, you know, find a friend who is close to you, who is dear to you, and teach them this, right? Buddha says if there's a person who is close to you, if there's a person who is dear to you, teach them this. That's the best thing you can do. That's Buddha's words. So find somebody close to you, somebody dear to you, and try to teach this. Of course, that person should be listening. Otherwise, no point, no. So try to find somebody like that. Try to teach it. And when you do that, with time you realize, now even I know much better. Probably other person, they didn't get the idea. But still, you have developed because of the teaching process. That's how it happens. So somebody was commenting, I think last week, right? Somebody was commenting that in my office, there was a notice board. So I recommended that we'll create a walking path in this place. We created a sand bed And we told everybody, we put a notice saying that if you want to read notices, take your shoes off, go to the land bed and read. That's our recommendation. Now even the managers, they go, they take the shoes off, then they read the notice board. Now we try to build a walking path there. Now we try to extend that place to make probably like 30 feet walking path. So it's not me talking, it's somebody, one of you guys talking. They are saying how they have implemented this practice in their workplace. So that's how you have to develop. That's how you will understand. So go find somebody, teach it, right? You will make mistakes. Definitely you will make mistakes. Other person won't understand what you said. Other person won't agree. That's fine. That's fine. You keep trying. You keep trying. And when you do that, after a few weeks, after a few months, you realize, now I understand much better. I don't care about other people. I understand much better. I can give the message clearly. That's what matters. Even when you go sit, even when you go walk, your practice is much better because now you know the proper way of practice. So that's the way. Last week you didn't understand. Now you are getting it. Now you are getting it. That's the comment that Osho was saying. Osho was saying that somebody may come and kill me, but still I'll be observing the process. I'll be seeing what is happening. So it's not me that's getting killed. So that's what he's saying, that somebody come and kill me, but I'll be observing that process happening. So it's not me. It's not the faculty of awareness that's getting killed. Right? So if you have ownership to this body and mind, then of course you are getting killed. If you don't have ownership over it, then some process is happening. Some process is happening. You don't have to worry over it. You are just the observer. You don't care. It's like a tree fallen in a forest. So what happens? Nobody cares about that. So that's the way of practice. So we are glad to hear that you understood this week. Continue. Next month, you'll understand much better. The month after, you'll understand much better. That's how it goes.
Thank you, Vante.
Thank you for your question, Hemamali. Anybody else wanting to ask a question? We have a few more minutes. Looks like there isn't anyone else. Since we have not a lot of time left, maybe we should, I'll hand over to Namantha to continue with the rest of the
session. Yes, thank you so much, Sonali, and much merits to you. And also much merits to Bhante for the valued insight from Bhante. And it is a matter of practicing for weeks and months and years years and years. And imagine if after a few sessions you feel this kind of difference, then how would you feel after about, say, 3 or 4 years of practicing this way? So I would quickly share the notice or the guidelines for a beginner to get started with mindfulness. I will share the screen for that. Okay, for a beginner, you can watch two videos, first one on mindful walking and the second one on mindful sitting. And then you can allocate some time on a daily basis. To keep on with the commencing of practicing, you can have starting off with maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes per session, and then you can expand that up to about 1 hour of mindful walking and then up to 1 hour of mindful sitting. Once you do practice for about a week, you can start expressing in written format the experiences you had during each session. If it is mindful walking, you can mention how you started, what you felt during the walking session, where was your focus, how it shifted, maybe how the thoughts were distracting you, and any proof that your focus returned or shifted back to any contact points with the ground or the way you were walking. So you can be very creative in expressing this. One aspect of mindfulness is that when you deepen your practice, it becomes harder to express because you are experiencing something which is deeper and deeper the more you practice. But trying to keep up with expressing that is another booster for improving or strengthening and reinforcing your own mindfulness practice. So the same applies for the mindful sitting session. You can mention breath, disturbances, or the abdomen rising or falling, or bodily vibrations. And on each session, we have this Q&A happening. You can email the reports to the email beginnersnv@gmail.com, or you can send the reports through the Google form. If you have any questions about the program, you can again email to this email. So the recordings of the previous sessions are contained in the link in point number 5, and I will put all this into the Zoom chat section right away, so you can copy them if you're a beginner. So I would like all those who are attending to think about or start up doing some practice in a regular format. I myself do practice. Mine is mostly on mindful walking. I do not get to do mindful sitting, but I urge everyone to do equal session times. I have done this for a while, so I'm doing it in a slightly different way. I will stop sharing the screen. Okay, so we have some time for the talk, and I would like to invite Bhante with much respect to add more insight and advice to strengthen and deepen our practice further with the talk for today. Over to Bhante, much minutes.
Thank you, Namantha. So I think we can take probably like 15 minutes to discuss a little bit about the practice. We already had a discussion, but we'll talk a little bit more about the practice. Now, in this new age, we are living in a modern world, right? So our senses, usually they get a lot of information. Think about your daily task. Think about how you would spend a day. Your senses are usually getting overwhelmed when you go to work, when you travel, when you spend some time at your workplace, then you again you travel back home, then again you do various things at home. So this is how you spend your day. So usually our eyes, they are getting overwhelmed by too many light. Even at night, we don't see the darkness till we fall asleep. As soon as you turn off your light, you feel this burning sensation in your eyes. That's why too much exposure to light. As soon as you turn off the light, you feel this burning sensation. As soon as you close your eyes, you feel this burning sensation. So naturally, according to evolution, our body is developed, or our eyes are developed to see like 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness. That's the natural process. But due to this new age, we get probably like 18 hours of light. And it's not the natural light, it's too bright. When you look at your phone, when you work on a computer, your senses are naturally getting overwhelmed. They get too much information due to this technology, due to this new age. And these days we are having power cuts in Sri Lanka. Suddenly, when the power goes off, it becomes dead silent. So you realize how much noises these things has been making. Power is a valuable thing, but when it goes off, you realize how noisy was it. Suddenly it drops into a dead silence. So this is what we have acquired as technology. this is what we have acquired in this new age. So your eyes are naturally getting overwhelmed by so much information. In addition, ears. When you are born, that's the best hearing that you have. You develop, your hearing get damaged little by little due to noises, due to large sounds. And you travel through a city, so many noises you get. You go to your workplace, so many noises. Then in addition, you have your earbuds and you are listening to music. It's also another type of a noise that you are listening. Again, you come back home, you sit in front of a television. Again, you are overwhelming your ears with sounds. So as soon as you go to your bed, you can feel this ringing sound inside your head because your senses are overwhelmed. So this is the life that we are living. And you are putting too much information into these senses. And it has a natural way of coping with this information. What is the way of coping? That's the anxiety that you get in your mind. That's mind's way of dealing with this information. You are putting so much information, it is jamming the entire system with those information. So anxiety is a good sign. In a way, it's a good sign. You have to listen to your anxiety. It is telling you a secret. It is telling you that your mental health matters. It is telling you that you have to put some time towards your mental health. It is telling you that you have to take a break from all these devices, all these noises, all these bright lights. So in a way, anxiety is a mind's way of dealing, mind's way of coping with this information. It has a positive side. It's a sign that you have to pay more and more attention towards your mental health. It's a sign that you have to pay more and more attention, having some break from these overwhelming sights and sounds. So when it comes to anxiety, it's not a temporary thing. Usually fear is a response. It's a response to a danger that you see. But anxiety, it's long-lasting and it's a response to a danger that you can't see. Usually you can't see, but you are suffering. You can't find a reason, but you are suffering. It is much longer. It's long-lasting, not like a fear. When you see a tiger, you get fearful, you do something, and within few hours, it's gone. But the anxiety is not like that. It continues day and night. It follows you like a dark cloud. So this is the mind's way of coping with these sense inputs. You are putting so much information into the mind, and this is mind's way of coping. So what is the solution? If you listen to your anxiety, if you want to pay attention to it, if you want to find a solution, then what's the solution? I already suggested few. You have to take a break. Don't put so much information into your sense doors. Make sure that every now and then you are taking a break. Probably don't sit long hours in front of a computer. Every 1 hour or so, you may have to take a break. Probably you have to go outside and take a walk outside. You have to go and drink something. You have to go and eat something. Some kind of a break that you have to take. So that's a one way of dealing. You can find breaks in between. Make sure that you are not overwhelming your senses too much. In addition, research shows that if you pay attention to the present moment, that's the best solution. Because when you're anxious, the control goes to the amygdala. That's that fight and flight response is happening there. But when you are present, you bring your control back to the front side, prefrontal cortex, they say, the upper part of your body, upper part of your brain, or the higher brain, they say. When you are present, you bring your attention, you bring control back to the higher parts of your brain. So that's the best solution. If you can be present, then you are again and again bringing control to the higher parts. Again and again, you are bringing control to the forebrain from the amygdala. And when you do that, when you train it again and again, research shows that it naturally comes to the forebrain. The control, gaining control, is much easier. It's becoming much easier when you train again and again. Initially, it's difficult, but gradually the pathways, the circuits develop, and it is much easier to take control. Take control from your amygdala to the forebrain. And when you have control in the forebrain, then it's much easier to deal with these things. So that's why meditation is recommended as a solution. Mindfulness is recommended as a solution. So every day you take some time, early morning, to practice mindfulness. Even throughout the day, you take few mindful breaks. And before bed, you turn your light off. You have like 20, 30 minutes of a mindful walk. Give a break to your senses before you try to fall asleep. So these things are good ways of coping with anxiety. These things are good ways of giving priority to your mental health. And if you do it for some time, then you really see the results. And again, exercise is also recommended as a good way of dealing with anxiety. Because when we exercise, you have to be present. If you are doing a sport, you have to be present. If you are running, your attention naturally goes there. If you are doing some other sport, your attention naturally goes there. So that's another way of being mindful, being aware, being present. So they have found that this is also a good way of dealing. This is also a good way of supporting your mental health. So these are valuable information that we get. How to deal with this new age. How to make sure that you are healthy in your mind and body. So if you pay attention to these things, you realize, if you listen to your anxiety, you realize it is telling me a secret. It's not something that I have to avoid. Instead, I can listen to it and find out a solution for it. So you have to go to work. You can't avoid that. You have to travel. You can't avoid that. You have to deal with your family matters. You can't avoid that. But while doing them, you have to make sure that you are healthy in your body and mind. You have to make sure that you are not suffering from anxiety. So if you start seeing these signs in you, you have to find a solution. You have to find some time for practice, for meditation. You have to find some time and exercise. You have to find breaks in between. And even before bed, especially, you have to make sure that you turn off your light and have some time of mindful walking. Let the senses relax before you go to the bed. So that way, if you gradually develop your practice, then you are able to function. Not achieve big things, but at least function with your life. Go to work, do your responsibilities, do your home matters, and somehow function. In this new age, many people, they can't even function. 1 out of 5, it says that they have to take some aid before they fall asleep. They have to take a pill before they fall asleep. And it's getting worse and worse. Technology is improving so much. So many information coming our way. It's a river of information that's coming through your phone, through your computer, through your television, through your sensors. So you have to find a solution to this. You have to find a way of coping, a way of dealing. So anxiety, in a way, is a good sign. It's giving you a warning. If you are ready to listen to it, then you have to make some changes in your life. You have to reserve some time for meditation. You have to make sure that even day-to-day life, you are taking breaks. You reserve some time for exercise. You reserve some quiet time before bed. That way, if you make some changes, then you realize, little by little, I am improving myself. I am becoming healthier. And when you pay attention to the present moment, let's say you are sitting, you are walking, you are paying attention. Initially, we recommend that you observe your breath. Initially, we recommend that you keep your attention with the steps or the sensation of your feet. So in a way, we are replacing all the anxieties in the world with breath. Instead of thinking about thoughts, that's the world. Instead of thinking about sounds, that's the world. Instead of thinking about your family problems, you pay attention to your breath. While walking, you pay attention to your feet. So in a way, we are replacing those large anxieties with a smaller one, which is our breath, which is our steps, right? But still, it's an anxiety. Even breath, after some time, you feel it's troubling. Even steps, after some time, you feel it's troubling. But initially, you have to hold on to it. You have to make sure that you are letting go of other things by holding on to breath, holding on to steps, right? But when you practice again and again, maybe within few weeks, maybe within few months, you realize even the breath is an anxiety. Even the steps that you feel, it's an anxiety. And naturally, you develop the skill to let go of this breath. You develop the skill to let go of these steps. When you let go, what happens? Another object will come. Some other object will come. That object will say, let go of the breath. I am much better. That will suggest thoughts may appear. Sometimes past incidents may appear. Sometimes mental images may appear. Sometimes skeletons may appear. Various things may appear. And they will recommend that let go of the breath. And I am much better. You can hold on to me. Initially, you get caught. Initially, sometimes you get caught in the thought processes. Sometimes you get caught in the emotions. Sometimes you get caught in the skeletons that appear, right? But with time, when you continue your practice, you realize although these objects appear, although they grab my attention, it's not long-lasting. After a while, the mental images, they disappear, they dissolve. After a while, the thoughts disappear. Even the skeletons fall apart and break into pieces. So again and again, we are In a way, in our mind, we replace one anxiety with another. Sometimes we replace with thoughts. Sometimes we replace with sounds. Sometimes we replace with bodily sensations. In a way, this is the lowest level of anxiety, the minimal level of anxiety. But it is happening again and again. In your mind, you are always replacing one anxiety with another. Even your day-to-day activities, that's the same thing you are doing. Early morning, you wake up. You jump out of your bed. You have to do something suddenly. Okay, you go and run, do it. Then after what happens? Then another task comes. After what happens, another task comes. So throughout your day, this is the same thing happening. You are replacing one anxiety with another. Again and again, as long as you are awake, this is the process that is happening. If you don't have anything to do, then it's so boring. You don't like it. So when you observe this process in your mind, you realize this is what is happening. Always it's trying to replace one object with another. Again and again, thousand and one times, the same process is happening. So with time, you realize these objects, although they appear, they are not long-lasting. They just come and go. Even your mind is not holding on to them. This process is not so colorful. This process is not so attractive. So when that happens, when you experience that, probably after a few months of practice, few years of practice, few weeks of practice, your mind lacks the interest in this process. If you pay attention, the process is there. The world is there. It becomes vivid and colorful if you pay attention. But if you turn your eyes away, then it doesn't matter anymore. So this is what happens in your mind. The process is there. If you pay attention, the objects are there. You can see how when one object is replaced by another. But if you turn your eyes away, then that doesn't matter. So that's what happens in your mind. It turns its eyes away from this world, from this process. So we are not going to get rid of this world. We are not going to get rid of this process. It's the interest that we get rid of. That's why in your reports you say towards the end of the sitting, this boredom hit me. Towards the end of this walking, disinterest in the walking process happening in my mind. So that's a very good sign towards lasting peace. When you see that sign in your mind, you have to take it as a good omen and make sure that you are appreciating that. Make sure that you are spending more and more time with that boredom, more and more time with that disinterest. So that is how we are going to get rid of this anxiety in our mind. If you pay attention, an object will appear and anxiety will follow. If you keep paying attention, they get replaced by other objects and anxiety will follow. But if you turn your eyes away, then there's no object, there's no anxiety. So that's how the practice will develop this peace in your mind. It will come gradually. When you practice more and more, little by little, you develop this kind of a freedom, this kind of a peace in your mind. So we invite you to continue with this practice. We invite you to listen to your anxiety. listen to the friction in your mind and do something about it. Take care of your mental health. Make sure that you reserve some time for practice. And with practice, you can become a person without anxiety. Even in your mind, you don't have any anxiety because you are not appreciating these mind objects. When you turn your eyes away, then it doesn't matter anymore. So that's what happens in your mind. The world is there, the sense processes are there, the objects are there, but your attention is not there. Your mind turns away. If you look, the world is there. If you look, it'll become vivid and colorful. If you look, the anxiety will follow. But if you turn your eyes away, then you are peaceful. Then you have freedom. So continue this way and you can see it for yourself. You can experience it for yourself. So I think that's enough for today's talk.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much merits for participating in today's session. I was thinking about the disinterested awareness that Bhante mentioned, and I feel I have been able to avoid a lot of stress in the workplace by being disinterested in whatever that's going on around. I think we don't have time for any verbal questions on the talk today. So if you have a question based on today's talk, you can maybe write it down and you can ask it in the session next week. And I would like to conclude the session quickly. I would like to pass on merits to Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for participating in today's session, for the commitment and also for Bhante's valued time being spent in the session today. I'd also like to thank and share merits with Most Venerable Bhante Udayiragam Dhamma Jiva Mahathero for insightfully initiating and requesting this program to be. And I would also like to pass on merits to all the organizers who have worked at the beginning and still endeavoring to sustain this program as it is. And I would also like to thank and pass on merits to all of you who are joining into the session so that we can justify the program running into the future. I hope all of you can join in future sessions as well. If you have any question regarding the program, you can raise a Zoom hand and I can allow you to mention your thoughts. Okay, I think we don't have anyone asking or trying to mention a question or statement. So I would wrap up today's program and I would like to wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead and hope for your valued participation with mindfulness reports and questions in the next session. I would also like to mention one more thing before I turn the session off. There was the first report submitted mentioned the person was going through a COVID condition and some of their family as well. So we wish a quick and speedy recovery for that person and their family. And we hope that the mindfulness practiced so far will prove to you that you can face the situation neutrally and with some boldness, and hope you get well soon. So with that, I will close of the session until we hope we will be able to participate in next week's session. Thank you.